So apropos of that, before we start the Megillah, I told the story, I think it was last Shabbos Gadol. I was in California last year around this time, and there was a fellow there at dinner Friday night who was President Bush's roommate at Yale, religious fellow, who lives in Beverly Hills. And he had been to the White House Purim night, just he and his wife, and George and Laura Bush. They had dinner together. I think one of the children, this fellow's children was with him. So they're eating, and then Laura says to him, his name is Donald, "Don't you have a holiday coming up now?" So he said, "Yeah, actually tonight." He'd gone to shul already. He said, "Tonight is Purim." So she said, "What's that all about?" So he said, "There was a mad dictator in Persia who wanted to destroy all the Jews." Yes. And President Bush said, "Nothing ever changes." Right. Nothing ever changes. All right, so let's start today. We're learning Megillas Esther in Perek Vav. V'layla ha'hu nodudo shnas ha'melech. That night, the sleep of the king was disturbed. Ahasuerus couldn't sleep. Nodudo means literally wandering. Novanod tiyabaretz, wandering. That is to say, and we all know this, those nights on which we can't sleep, our minds are wandering. We have too many thoughts in our head. Our minds are just not at rest. And when your mind is not at rest, you can't sleep. To sleep, you need either exhaustion, sheer exhaustion, or serenity of mind. So the king wasn't exhausted. He just did not have serenity of mind. So what, in fact, was troubling him? We'll get back to that. Vayomer lehavi es sefer zichronos divrei hayomim. He asked that they bring to him the book of records, divrei hayomim, the annals of the days. Vayu nikroim lefnei hamelech. And they were read before the king. So we'll also try to understand the difference between the Sefer Zichronos and the Divrei Hayomim. Yeah, you just read the Megillah, you listen to it read, you think it's the same thing. But in fact, the Malbim says not the same thing. They're two different types of books. So what is the difference, and what exactly was Ahasuerus looking for? And why was this the means to salvation? It seems granted the name of God is hidden in the Megillah. And the whole story of Purim unfolds through a Nes Nistar, through a hidden miracle. But why is this the means? The sleep of the king is disturbed, and then this whole thing unravels, unfolds, so that Mordechai is honored, and Haman is debased, and then, of course, Esther appears again. Rav Aviner writes in his commentary on Esther that this really is the lowest point in the story, the end of Perek Hay. Perek Vav begins the process of Gula. So much so that, as we know, you'll hear next Motzei Shabbos when we read the Megillah, that the Balkori raises his voice at this point. It says in a much louder voice, "Balayla hahu nodedo shnas hamelech." That night, the king's sleep was disturbed. But now it's the darkest moment. Never looked worse for the Jewish people than at the end of Perek Hay. Everything had gone wrong for them. They had disgraced themselves at Ahasuerus's banquet at the beginning of Megillah. They bowed down to idols. They bowed down to Haman. They had this decree that they'd all be exterminated. And now the gallows was prepared for Mordechai. Mordechai, the only Jew who seemed to have ties with the government and who seemed as well to have a spiritual plan to extricate the Jewish people from this impending disaster, because you recall Esther told Mordechai earlier, "Lech kanos eskol hayudim, go and gather all the Jews, v'tsumu alai fast al tachu v'al tishtu shlosh yomim, don't eat or drink for 3 days." And these is right in the middle of the 3 days. In fact, the beginning of the third day we're talking about now. So he had a plan. He was the only Jew, really. Could have been others too, but he was the most prominent one who had remained faithful, and now they all knew that he was destined in the morning for the gallows. So it's Balayla Hahu on that night, and that's how the Jewish people have always existed, and that's how we look at the world. Balayla Hahu means the moment the Hashresh couldn't sleep, that's Bachatzos HaLayla. That's the middle of the night. The middle of the night is when darkness, when night is most entrenched. Because Chatzos HaLayla is equidistant from daylight at either end. It's a few hours past the end of daylight the previous day, and the same few hours until daylight of the new day. So that is when we are most distant from daylight. And daylight always represents to us promise, hope, clarity, because then you could see more. Chatzos HaLayla is when night, when all hope seems lost. And that is Nodedos Nas HaMelech. That's when the king's sleep was disturbed. By the way, we make reference to this in the Haggadah, in that little piyut at the end of the Haggadah, when most people begin to doze. Vayihi b'chatzi halayla, it's the paita, what? That's where it's run. Vayihi b'chatzi halayla. Right, so that actually records a list, maybe 20, 22 all told, of various events that happened in the middle of the night, at midnight, including, of course, Makas Bacharis, which is first. And that precipitated the redemption from Egypt. But there, the Python writes, O'archo nitzchacho olov benedet shnas laylo. You, God, began your triumph over him, meaning Achashverosh and Haman, when you disturbed the sleep of the night. That's Vayihi b'chatzi halayla. It's not a coincidence. It's when things to us look darkest, and we have nowhere else to turn, that's where Kadosh Baruch Hu intervenes. Because then it's not a question of thinking that it's our power, our cleverness that is saving us, but rather it's reliance on Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's for that reason the Gemara says in Megillah Daf Chesvav Amud Beis, Balayla Hahu Nodedo Shnas HaMelech, the Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Tanchum Nodedo Shnas Malko Shel Olam. Whose sleep was disturbed? So to speak, the sleep of the King of the Universe. HaMelech here, a subtle reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi says, Shnas Malko Shel Olam, Dugma, it's similar to a pasuk in Tehillim, Vayikatz ki yoshein Hashem, that God awoke as one that was sleeping. In that context, awoke to avenge the enemies of the Jewish people. But the Medrash says in Esther Rabbah, in Parsha Yud, at the very beginning, Balayla hahu nodo shnas hamelech, nodo shamayim kiso shal melech malchem alochem. The heavens disturbed, upset the throne of the King of Kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sheros Yisrael Batzara. He saw the Jewish people in travail, in difficult straits. So what does it mean? Nodino Shnas Malko Sha'olam, Vayikatz Me Kiyoshein Hashem. But God awoke as one who was sleeping. Does God sleep? In fact, we say this in Tehillim, famous, very popular song now. Does God sleep? It says in Tehillim, behold, the guardian of Israel does not slumber, does not sleep. So the Medrash continues, Elo bizman she Yisrael shruyim b'tzar v'umos ha'olam b'shalva, when the Jewish people are ensconced in pain and suffering, and the nations of the world are serene and placid, that is considered Sheino Shel Malko Shel Olam. It's as if God is asleep. What's the sleep of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When Jews are in trouble, not for coming late, but generally in trouble, it looks to us as if God is asleep. Sheino Lifnei HaMakom is a further extension of Hester Ponim. Hester Ponim, which the Torah says at the very end, Vanochi Haster Stir Panay Mikem, on the day of Tzara, God will conceal his face from us, meaning he'll turn away from us. And of course, very interesting, the Gemara says, Esther min HaTorah minayin, how do we see what is the source of Esther in the Torah? So that's possible. It's an allusion to her. Vanochi Haster Stir Panay Mikem Bayamahu, God says. Because Esther also means hiddenness, concealment. Sheino is even further. See, Hestapana means we turn away, we don't want to look. We're aware of it, but we don't want to intervene. Sheino is a further expression of distance, of removal, of non-involvement in whatever event is transpiring. That is, no, that's the Shnas HaMelech. When we see the Jewish people with sorrow and nothing is happening to us, then that's a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is B'Sheino. And that's why, L'kach Nemar, it says in Tehillim, David HaMelech said, Ura, wake up, so to speak. Lama Tishan Hashem, why should God continue to sleep? That's how we perceive it. What wakes up God, so to speak? What wakes up? What disturbs Shnas Malko Shel Olam? Tshuva, Tfilo, Sa'ako. We cry out to God. We become better people. We become, again, faithful. We reiterate and underscore and reinforce what our mission is to be. Once again, embrace the mission of the Jewish people. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds. The Gemara continues. That's one aspect of Nodav Shnas HaMelech. You see, it all comes together, but that's one aspect of it. It's the sleep of Malko Shel Olam. At this point, when it couldn't get any worse for the Jewish people, because Mordechai, the leader of the Jews, he is hours away from being hanged, and no one else has any clue what to do. And every element of society is converging on the Jewish people. The king, his prime minister, his officers, the army, everyone in all the 127 provinces, they're all conglomerating in order to attack and destroy the Jewish people. Can't get any worse. That's Nodzen Shnas HaMelech. The king's sleep, Malko Shel Olam, is disturbed. The Gemara continues. Rabbonon Amre, Rabbonon say, Nodadu Elyonim, Nodadu Tachtonim. That those who dwell in the celestial realm, they were the ones whose sleep was disturbed. Who's that? Rashi says, Shehoyu Malochim Mavhilim Oso Kol HaLaylo. The Malochim, the angels, were putting into Achashverosh's head the entire night. The Omru Lo, Kofui Tova, Ingrate, Shalem Tova Lemisha Aso. Pay back, compensate. Reward the one who did something for you. Bachar didn't know what they were talking about. He's getting this message. But sometimes people wake up like, with a strange idea in their head. Sometimes a dream, but sometimes not. You know, I sometimes wake up with ideas for drushos. And then it turns out I'm actually standing before the shul and saying it already. But sometimes an idea can pop into your head. Sometimes I wake people up and they're having their own thoughts and they think they hear me in their sleep. Kofui Tovo, Ingrate. So Achashverosh, of course, who was a great paranoid, as many, if not all dictators are, so he wondered, what does this mean? What does this mean? Certainly every dictator knows how to reward his friends and keep far or keep dead his enemies. And sometimes, of course, they blur the distinction and they kill off their friends also, like Stalin was wont to do, Hitler Achashverosh was wont to do. Just to Saddam Hussein was wont to do, just so people should know they can't get too close and can't pose a threat. But Achashverosh wondered what happened. Nodul Yonim. So what Rashi relates in terms of Malochim, so we understand how that process exists. There's an unconscious, and thoughts arise, especially when our minds are puzzled. And we'll see in a moment that Achashverosh himself was very, very puzzled by the events of the day. Or, Nodadu Tachtonim, those who dwell in the lower realm, they were the ones whose sleep was disturbed. Who's that? Klal Yisrael. We're the Tachtonim. If Esther told us, fast and daven for 3 days, so you could be sure at this time when the people knew that Esther was going to the king, they didn't sleep at all. They were engaged in tefillah, the entire night, those 3 days, which as we know were the days of Pesach. And this was the beginning of the third and final day of the fast. Where's the third pshat? Rav Amar, Rav said, Shnas HaMelech Achashverosh Mamish. We're talking literally about the sleep of the king. Now the Gemara continues. Nafla le milsa bedaite. Something came into his head. What came into his head? Amar. May de kamon. Dizminte Esther le Haman. What got into Esther's mind that she would invite Haman to our party? Dilma eitza kashakli lave. Maybe together they're conspiring. Dahu gavro le miktale. That he, Haman, should kill me. Remember, of course, we discussed this in years past, Ahasuerus came to the throne by killing his predecessor. So whenever a dictator takes office that way, he always fears that this is going to happen to him. Uneasy lies the head that wears the crown. Indeed. Hadar Omar, so Ahasuerus said, Ihochi, lo havra gavra dirchimli, to have a modali? If that's the case, isn't there anyone who's a friend of mine, an ally, who would inform me of a plot that's developing? Hadar Omar, he said, and this he was a rational thinker, if no one has come forward with this plot, Dilma iko inish de ovid bitivuso, velo prate. Maybe there's someone who did a favor for me, and I didn't repay him. In which case, someone put himself on the line for me. I paid him no mind. So why should that person then jeopardize himself some point in the future? Mishum hachi mimni inshe v'lo magaluli. Maybe then he's refraining from coming forward, and he won't reveal the plot to me. Miyad, immediately he said, Vayomer lohavi sefer zichronos divrei hayomim vayu nikroim. Bring me the book of records, of annals. We'll see him again in a moment. He looked in two different sources to try to ascertain exactly what the problem was here. In fact, it's no machlokas at all. Rashi says here, "Balayla hahu nodar shnasa melech neis hoya." It was a neis. A neis means it was a confluence of everything. Everything came together. Nodar shnasa malchus shel olam, and malachim put in his head, and the Jews were davening, and Achashverosh couldn't sleep for a variety of reasons. So what did he fear? So Gemara says that he feared that something else. That here Esther endangered herself by coming forward unannounced, uninvited. So it must have been some important matter of state. And what does he? What does she ask him? To come to a banquet, Mishta. Then at that banquet, he's expecting something momentous. What does he hear? Nothing. What does he see? Haman is there. What does she ask for? Come back the next day to another banquet. This also plays with his mind. Something else as well, because now he's thinking there must be something that is vitally important on Esther's mind, but she's not raising it. It can't be something that relates to the palace, because she's the queen. She has everything that she needs. So what possibly could it be? The Medrash continues here in the Parsha Yud in Esther Rabbah. Noda shasa melech Achashverosh sherob chalomo es Haman shenotal sayif lehargo. Achashverosh saw in a dream, he had a dream that Haman was coming with a sword in order to kill him. Vinivhal, and he trembled, woke up with a sword. Vekit mishinaso, he woke from sleep. Omar lesofrov, haviu sefer zichronos likros viliros masha avarolov. Bring out these books and let's read and see what exactly it is. Now the Malbim says two things. He says there's a difference between Divrei Hayomim and Sefer Zichronos. Divrei Hayomim is a political record. It's what we call today the congressional record. It's just an account of the government. What the government is doing, what the ministries are doing. It's a constant record. If that won't put you to sleep, nothing will. So bring out the Divrei Hayomim. But first he wanted to hear, they never got to the Divrei Hayomim. First he wanted to hear Sefer Zichronos. But the Sefer Zichronos, the Malbim says, was the king's personal diary. Let me read from my personal diary and let me hear what's transpired in the last few years. Maybe something happened that I wasn't aware of, that I did not reach out to my supporters as I should have. Right. He wanted it all. Right. It's a good question. You have to take up with the Malbim. But, right. But it even sounds different. Sefer Zichronos is like a memoir. Literally, that's the word. It's a memoir. Divrei Hayomim is a chronicle. It's a chronicle. That's the darshan of the Rav, necessarily. You see, by the way, you know, the language of Chazal is not always to use a vav. Like many Mishnayos will bring a list, and they'll just delete the vav. I can see why it'd be troubling. But that's what he says. Others say it is the same book, so maybe they're sensitive to that. He says it's too different. In fact, they never got to the Divrei Hayomim, because he found what he needed in the Sefer Zichronos. Now, it gets even more interesting, because the Gemara says, Pasuk ends, Vayihiyu Nikra'im Lifnei HaMelech. They were read before the king, in front of the king. And then Vayimatzei Chasuv, it was found written. Strange way. We don't talk like that in English, nor do we talk like that in Hebrew. It's the passive tense. Things were read. We wouldn't say that. We would say, so-and-so read as a verb. By Matzei Kasuv, it was found written. So even the Mefarshim pick up that to say something is written, it sounds almost present tense. If you wanted to find something that had already been written, they would say, by Matzei Katav, a report was found. Something that had already been written. The Gemara is sensitive to this. And the Gemara says, it was almost read by itself. What does it mean, read by itself? Sugumar says, kasav mi boile, should have written. They found something in writing. Not something that was kasuv, which is present tense, being written. Sugumar continues, milameh sheshim shay mocheg v'gavriel kosev. They saw. Nikroim me'alov means the book. They just opened the book. Now, I'm not going to go back to when Ahasuerus was, 10 years old and a barber, or 20 years old and just entering the palace. They opened the book somewhere. Where did they open the book? Right there, at Mordechai, at the story of Bigson and Zeresh. Right there they opened the book. So the Gemara says, Shimshai Moche. Rashi says, Shimshai was Sofer HaMelech, the king's scribe. He had been Koresh's scribe too. Sonei Yisrael Hoyo. He was a hater of Jews. So he opened that, he saw Mordechai, he knew what Haman was planning, and he turned the page. And the Medrash says the page blew back. So he went back a page, and the page blew forward. And he started reading, and the king said, what is on that page? And he said, nothing. And again he turned the page. And again the page blew back. That's Nikra Imei Aleihen. It's as if it read itself, as if he was forced to read that particular passage. Gemara makes it even clearer. Shimshai Mochek. He took the king's diary and started erasing that. And the king said, what are you erasing? The Gavriel Kosev. Angel Gavriel is writing, meaning that he was not able to erase it. Magical ink. Ink which disappears, and then, what's that? That's right. Oh, yeah, it's lost on me. But actually, they have this Machon Halacha invented this disappearing ink for doctors to use. You know, you write on Shabbos and nothing appears, and 24 hours later after Shabbos, the writing appears. That's what Gavriel used, that ink. Gavriel Kosev. Because it sounds fanciful. What does it say? Tried to erase it, couldn't. Tried to hide it, could not. Tried to obscure, to obfuscate. The true story, could not do it. That's the Sefer Zichronos. And there, kept coming back to that page, could not escape what was written on that page. Until the king said, what's there? Vayunikrim Meilov. It read itself. They didn't want to read it. That's what the Megillah is telling us. They did not want to read it. They did not want to have it written there, but it was there, and they could not escape it. So, the king found out that it dealt with Mordechai. That's the pasuk. Vayomer, vayimatzei chasuv, pasuk beis, asher higid Mordechai al bigson of Oseresh, shnei sari se ha-melch mishamrei asaf. The story at the end of Perek Beis, that Mordechai had told the king about Bigson and Seresh, asher bigshu l'shloach yod ba-melech ha-chashverosh, who they wanted to stretch forth their hand, wanted to assassinate the king, conspired against the king. Bless you. That's what it said. Now, it's very interesting, because Achashverosh, of course, is no fool. You know, Gemara says Achashverosh pikeach hoya. It's very clever. Nobody becomes a leader for fools. It's pikeach, pikeach hoya. I was watching a show last night, Fox News, about Hollywood, when I got home from the night simchas. It was a very interesting show about the leftist bias in Hollywood. So I had a little clip of Danny DeVito, I guess when he was drunk on one of the talk shows last month, just blabbering about how Bush is a fool and Bush is an idiot. And then the announcer says, President Bush, of course, is a graduate of Harvard and Yale. Danny DeVito is a graduate of acting school. And that's how they just left it for the next little clip. But nonetheless, Achashverosh pikeach hoya. He was very clever. So he knew that there was a link between Esther and Mordechai, right? How did he know that? Because who conveyed to Achashverosh the plot about Bigthan and Zeresh? Esther. Mordechai told Esther, and Esther told the king. In fact, that's the famous source in the Avos. Kol Omer Dover B'Shem Omro, Mevi Geula L'Olam. If you quote something in the name of something else, it'll bring about the redemption. Because Vatomer Esther Lamelech B'Shem Mordechai. Esther told the king in the name of Mordechai. Now it's interesting, Mordechai never came forward, and there's no record, it seems, of Avinei Reishis that Mordechai came forward. That's why he wasn't rewarded. He never sought a reward. It was enough to tell Esther. You raised a very good question. Why did Mordechai tell Esther there was a plot against Achashverosh? Here, Esther was his wife, according to many opinions. She'd been kidnapped by Achashverosh. She was his wife. The quickest way for Mordechai to get Esther back, let Achashverosh be killed. So why did he let him be killed? Why did he take the initiative and save Achashverosh? So in fact, he writes that is the way Jews act in Golos. We content ourselves with whatever ruling power exists on the theory, usually proven true, that the next king is going to be worse. Better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. And he quotes, you know, all the famous sources of the tefillah that we have in our Sidurim, Anosein Shua Lemalochim, for the president. It's an old tefillah, and there's Sidurim from 19th century Russia that have the Tsar Nicholas in it. And Nikolai was a terrible, vicious, a rabid Jew hater. But he was the Tsar. And he was the Tsar, his people were even worse. And his successor also might have been worse. So that's the way we look at in the exile. We're in a very limited sense. So that's why he told the king. But he sought no personal reward for it. Now, for Achashverosh, everything seems to come together. Esther, strangely, bizarrely, jeopardizes her life, comes to him uninvited, brings him to a mishta, says she has something momentous to ask him, asks nothing but to come back. Mordechai, who somehow is linked to Esther, brings news of a conspiracy, impending conspiracy, to Achashverosh. Nothing is done to reward him. Haman now appears in Achashverosh's dream. And to Achashverosh, it's ominous, because here he's dreaming about Mordechai coming, Haman coming, Natal Saif Lahargo. That's his dream. And right after he wakes up from that dream, he says, bring my diary. What's the first thing that they read? Of another plot to kill him. All right? Another plot. See, he dreams of Haman. He hears read of a plot in which the ones who reveal the plot were not rewarded at all. And then finishes. Vayomer HaMelech, Manaso Yekor Gedola Mordechai Alzeh. Vayomer Narei HaMelech Misharsov, Lo Naseh Modavar. Yes, what was done? Nothing was done. And then he hears. Vayomer HaMibechatzer. Who's in the courtyard? The Haman Bo, Lachatzar Beis HaMelech Yitzonot. Haman's coming. Haman's coming at this most inopportune time, if you're Haman, to ask the king to kill the man who was just exposed to Achashverosh as the only person he seems that he can trust. Haman appears. Now, Ahasuerus didn't know of Haman's plot to kill Mordechai in any specific sense. He may have known in the general sense that there was some antagonism, we don't know. He certainly doesn't know that Haman is planning to kill Mordechai the next morning and asking for it. But right now he sees these things coming together. One plot saved by Mordechai, revealed to him by Esther. So in fact, Esther can be trusted. Mordechai can be trusted. Haman, he's Haman. And now he has a dream that Haman is going to kill him. And by the way, it has to be a common dream of all dictators, that the person closest to him is the one who's going to kill him, because every vice president thinks he could be president. That's just the way it is. Like, you have in any government, the one who's the chief of staff, the one who's closest to the leader who's making the decisions or helping the decisions, he could do the same thing. And now he sees all this coming together. Mordechai, he doesn't know of. Doesn't know where his whereabouts, but Ahasuerus now knows of only one thing. He has to investigate, maybe go back to Esther even, and find out if she's heard anything. Maybe reach out in some way to Mordechai and find out if he's heard anything. But one thing is clear. He wants Haman out of the palace. And quickly. Vayomer HaMelech Nivechatzer V'Haman Bo LaChatzer Beis HaMelech HaChitzona Leimor LaMelech Lislosis Mordechai Aloeitz Asher Echidlo. He's coming to ask permission to hang Mordechai on the tree prepared. Vayomer Narei Melech Elov Hine Haman Omei Bechatzer. Vayomer Melech Yavo, bring him in. Vayavo Haman. But I'm very glad you're not banging every time I say Haman. Save that for tonight. Vayavo Haman. Vayomer HaMelech Malasos Bushar Melech Hafeitz Bikuro. How do you pay a person? All right, so this is already famous. Haman says he's given the king's garments, and crown, and chariot, and horse, etc. The Ahasuerus now, it confirms in him that Haman has designs on the throne. But his main interest at this point is to get rid of him, and quickly. So he says, bring everything he wants, and say zos l'mordechai, ma'akachas alavush, sus, v'aseichen l'mordechai yudiyah ha'yoshev v'shar melech. Don't leave a thing. Now he wanted, of course, to show honor to Mordechai, but the main thing he wants now is to get rid of Haman so he can investigate what is happening. Mordechai is escorted around by Haman. Certainly a measure of vindication for him. Haman is debased by Krolofanov, by Akiveil Bechorvi, takes him around the city. We can't imagine such a thing. Having a guy leading a horse, you know, with someone in a wagon in back of it. This is what's done to a person who the king wants to honor. Mordechai returned to the gate of the king. Haman already ran back to his home, trembling, despondent. Where did Mordechai go? So Rashi says, Vayoshav Mordechai al Shar HaMelech, he went back with Sako Latani So. It's very nice. He had to be bathed by Haman, given a shave, a haircut. But then afterwards he went back and put on his sackcloth and went back to his fasting. Because that's what the Jewish people are doing. So the question is why? Why would he do that? Already he sees that something is changing. Something is different. All right, you'll say the danger is not averted. Even his personal danger is not averted. Rabbi Yonasan Eibishit has a very interesting shot. He says, Gemara says in Brachos, Daf Hei Med Beis, a famous klal that's applicable in many areas in life. Ein chovosh matir atzma beis asurim. A prisoner cannot free himself from prison. A prisoner needs the help of others. You can't free yourself necessarily from a predicament that's externally imposed. You need others' assistance. So the prisoner needs help. And here the Jewish people, Mordechai prominently amongst them, were incarcerated in a way, chained. They couldn't get out of the situation in which they find themselves. Why is that? So he said a chavush is tense. A chavush is anxious. Feels the weight of the midas hadin, of the divine attribute of justice, the suffering. So he doesn't have really the freedom of mind even to daven in a heartfelt way. He just feels the pressure and the constant insecurity and the fear. Now the Gemara says elsewhere in Bava Kamma that kol ha'mispalel al chaveiro v'tzarach oso davar, nanatzilo. A person who davens for someone else, and he needs the same thing, he's going to be answered first. So he said, that's the situation here. Mordechai is davening and davening for years already, not just for days. For years, the leader of the people. But now, who tzarech lo'oso davar? The Jews, their impending doom is not till Adar, which is 11 months later. Mordechai's impending doom is just a few hours away. So he goes back, but what is he davening for? He realized at that point that he's not going to be hanged by Mordechai, by Achashverosh, by Haman in the morning. That's not going to happen because the king will never allow it. So now his tefillos for Klal Yisrael are heartfelt. Now already he is freed from his own personal prison, and now his tefillos are the most effective. So Bjornason said, that's why from this point there's only a straight upward line to salvation. Nothing ever deviates from that. And from this moment to Mordechai's elevation as the viceroy of Persia, it's just a few hours away. And it's a straight, it's an elevator right to the top. Mordechai knew. That wasn't a secret.
He knew.
That's right.
Except
the king didn't know. Mordechai knew. The king didn't know. What's that?
Right.
And I think Achashverosh might have known in a general way, but he didn't know that it was going to come so quickly. So the tefillos Mordechai were less effective. But nonetheless, Mordechai was the catalyst for the whole salvation, and therefore it's only just that he be the first one to be saved. The first Jew to recognize the Yad Hashem, Yeshua Hashem Karefayin, it's only just he sensed it first. And in fact he did. But nonetheless, he went back with Sako Tatul Taneso, went back to his sackcloth, to his fasting, to his tefillos, because now he saw Shasa Kosher to help Klal Yisrael. And then the Yeshua itself unfolded. Yes. Cold? Right. Right. I think in the Zerah HaYehudim Orechai, Ashachilosum Polofonov, Losuchalo, Kinofolki Polofonov, you will fall. That was she told
Haman.
That's right. That's right. Since. Doesn't mean if, but since. Yes, since Haman is a Jew, Mordechai is a Jew, rather, he said, once you start falling. See, when the Jewish people sin, and there's Hester Ponim, and there's even Shein HaTamelech, then the enemy has dominion over us. But when the tide changes, enemy knows, right, when the tide changes, and the Jewish people are ascendant, she told them, Nuffel people, there's no hope. She's maybe looking beyond him already, you know, checking his life insurance policy. There's no hope. No faulty pole, Lefanov, you'll keep falling. There's no stopping. Because once the Hashgacha is aroused, Nodzah Shnatz HaMelech, and Klal Yisrael involved in Tzil and Tainis, and the King of Kings is aroused to save us, then nothing stops. And it's a juggernaut that cannot be changed. V'chein hoya, Mordechai's tefillos for Klal Yisrael, in fact, caused the Yeshua to unfold. Now, the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael generally requires, the Gula requires, waking up. Shena is one of the states in which the Jewish people find themselves very frequently. A person who is asleep is not really aware of his surroundings. And sometimes, you know, we're in a dreamlike state, and we think we're awake, but we're not really awake. And sometimes we're sleeping, and we think we're awake, and we don't really understand events as they unfold around us. And that, of course, is a classic definition of Chatzi HaLaila. That's the middle of the night. In the unconscious, many things are happening, and sometimes they appear very real to us. But nonetheless, we're asleep, and we don't see events. Shiramal's Peshuvah Hashem Shiva Tzion, Ayun Kecholmin. It's like dreamers. Shiva Tzion finds us in a state in which we're dreamlike, because it seems like we're awake, but we don't really understand it. It's distant. It's murky. It requires clarification or definition, understanding. It appears to us very mysterious, very desirable, the fulfillment of all our hopes and our dreams. We can't yet put our finger on it to say it's real. You know, many, very often people have the sensation they'll dream something. The dreams are always an expression of some contrast to a, either to balance out or to challenge what's in the unconscious. So here, it's, you know, kecholmim, something we want desperately, yearning for. But we see it unfolding in a way which we cannot completely understand. Some alphabets wrote a perush on Megillah called Menos HaLevi, the offerings of the Levi. It's actually a famous little story. Reb Shlomo Levi Alkabetz was the author, was a great poet and Talmud Chacham in the 1500s in Eretz Yisrael, wrote L'Chadodi. It's his acronym, his acrostic rather, L'Chadodi, Shlomo HaLevi. So he wrote Menos HaLevi, as the story goes, he was very poor, couldn't afford even Shlach Manos. So he wrote a parish on Megillah and he sent that to his father-in-law as his Mishlach Manos for him. Manos HaLevi, the Manos of the Levi, they're from Levi Alkabetz. He could have sent M&Ms or something, maybe a pretzel, but nonetheless, he sent him the Sefer. So he writes a very interesting point. If you look at the Megillah, the last page of the Megillah is almost completely blank. There are a few lines on top, but most of it is a column which is empty. He says, why is it empty? He says, because the Megillah is not over. The story of Purim is really not over. The Shein of Klal Yisrael, the Shein as HaMelech, the trouble of all our enemies. The story of the Megillah really starts with the birth of Amalek, who was Esav's grandson. And then, of course, Moshe and Yeshua's war with Amalek, and Shaul's war with Amalek, David's war with Amalek, Mordechai's war with Amalek, Ki Haman ben Hamdasa ha'Agogi, the descendant of Agog, whom Shaul failed to kill. So that war also was a battle. The war didn't end. He says that's why the whole page of the Megillah is left blank, because every generation fights its own war. It's a little ironic that one of our wars is against another Persian madman, but nonetheless, every generation is fighting Amalek, Milchamol Hashem b'Amalek midor dor. The war goes on. So it's as if there's room in the Megillah to fill in another chapter of how the next war with Amalek ended in a way which brought about the salvation of Klal Yisrael. That last parsha is yet to be written. But one thing is always before us. The Shein of Klal Yisrael also has to end. We have to wake up and not just live in a world of illusions and a world of fantasies and think problems will just go away. Because, you know, we want them to go away, right? The world has a way of, in fact, there's a word for it, to avoid dealing with the pressing problems through obfuscation. You know what that word is called? That word is? Diplomacy. That's what the word is. Diplomacy, yeah. Diplomacy means let's deal with problems by talking about them and hope that something changes down the road that's unforeseen, because we don't have the will or the resolve to deal with them now. That's called diplomacy. What's that? Filibuster. Filibuster, right. Filibuster is a more pejorative word. Diplomacy is a very diplomatic word. It's very, that's right, it's a very sensitive, very, very useful word. The problem is you need action also. But words talk lull us to sleep. Diplomacy lulls us into complacency, which makes us think that, oh, you know, right now it's not so bad. Right, you see this, by the way. If you read any of the political scientist claptrap of the day, many people say now, so let them have a nuclear bomb. What's the difference? You think they're really going to destroy Israel? What are they thinking? Why do they want to do such a thing? Because if they did that, they wouldn't be invited, you know, to the next UN cocktail party. Why would they want to do such a thing? So we talk it into ourselves, and it becomes very realistic to us. But that's a shame, though. And if we forget who we are and what we're asked to do, then we suffer from also the Shina Samelech, Shena Shel Malkus Shel Olam. And God also turns away. We're not going to fight for ourselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands back. The things that we can do in the political realm. Outside the political realm, there are more things that we can do in the spiritual realm. Torah, Tzilah, and Mitzvot, and Chesed, and Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, all those things are part of real life, not part of the fanciful world of the diplomats. That really is our obligation. And that's the message of Purim. When it came down to crunch time, no one stood back. No one stood back and said, there's nothing we could do. Maybe something will change. Every Jew acted in the way which was most appropriate. Tefillah, Tzom, Tshuva. And then when the day came, suffice. Gimel Adar, Tainus Esther, today, that's the day of fighting, the day of struggle. The day in which Jews say, now we have to stand against our enemies and combat them on their battlefield, knowing that Hine lo yonim v'lo yishon shom Yisrael. But in fact, when we are aroused, then Malkos Sha'olam is aroused as well. Yes. It's a good question. So the Gemara says, Yerushalmi, and the Rambam quotes it, that Megillas Esther will be the only Megillah read in Yemos HaMashiach. And in fact, the Megillah itself makes reference to this at the end. Vimei Purim Ha'elu. Let's see. Vimei Purim Ha'elu. It's a nice pasuk. We should find it. It's Perek Tes. Perek Tes. Pasuk Chav Ches. It'll never leave us. Never leave us. There are many shotim why that is, but one, I guess, is a good question in context of what we're saying. It's because Purim gives us the way to live in the world, to understand what our obligations are, what is within our power to do, and what is beyond our power to do, in which case we have to turn to Malkos Sha'olam. We need both. If you don't do one, then you where it just makes for more and more sorrows. You need both. You have to act in a way in which we arouse ourselves, Yisarusa dilatato, and then that provokes Yisarusa dilelo, Yisarus milamalo. And then the Shomei Yisrael steps in, and strange things happen. As have often happened this time of year, also with the enemies of the Jewish people. You know, Stalin died, it was a few days before Purim. Strange things happened right when he was getting ready to destroy the Jews, right after the doctor's plot. He'd already signed a decree to destroy the Jews of the Soviet Union. In fact, there are Soviet Jews today who commemorate what they call Purim Stalin. He died in the era of Purim. Strange things happen. Not so strange to us, because we see the what happens when Uro, Loma Tishan Hashem. If we say the right words and do the right things, the Shomei Yisrael awakens to our salvation, as he did to our forefathers, Bayom Mehem Bizmanazeh. So happy Purim to everyone. Next week, a little more on Megillas Esther.